This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Before we get to Ray Ferraro, there was a dispute in the preliminary trivia questions, and we have to throw to Toronto where the video replay is happened, and we're going to bring in Al's brother from Toronto.
Thanks, O. After some extensive look at the replay, it is conclusive evidence that Brian Hayes, in fact, got the answer correct. He gets the point.
Having the time of his life.
Thank you, Al's brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a dignified answer. I mean, he went to the tape. It was a fact. The question was, name someone that Madonna was married to.
The man didn't make it up.
No.
He is protecting the field. He works with the league.
Right.
And he's Al's brother.
Al's brother is on the up and up.
And I love the guy.
Yeah. You were looking for Sean Penn, but I said Guy Ritchie, and she was married to Guy Ritchie. Jonas Seager from The Athletic in here. How you feeling after the first round?
I'm embarrassed by my performance.
Yeah?
Although, how am I supposed to know where the Seven Dwarves work?
You got some
how
tough
would I know
questions,
that?
Man.
I should have known about the Mona Lisa. That's embarrassing. But do you know, would you have known which fingernail grows fastest?
I had no idea. I was going to say
I haven't watched Snow White since I was five.
I got two kids and I don't watch Snow White. I had no idea that the Seven Dwarves had a job. I thought they just hung around the house.
They're miners.
I guess they are. I had no idea. Isn't one of them lazy?
Dopey?
Dopey? They're not. You don't want them Sneeze. Down there
that
in the
That should have been a question. That was a good question. Can you name the Seven Dwarves?
You couldn't do that.
No chance.
And neither could I.
Do you think together we could come up with them?
No, I don't think we could.
I don't think
so. If you can come up with them together right now, I'll give you each one bonus point. The Seven Dwarves, give me all seven before we get to Ray Ferraro.
Dopey.
Dopey.
Sneezy.
Sneezy.
Happy?
No. There's an angered one, but I don't know what they call them.
Grumpy.
Grumpy.
Yes.
There you go. Grumpy. There should be a frumpy one in there. Just a grit grinder.
Do we say sleepy?
Sleepy. Lazy is lazy one? I think sleepy is lazy.
You're not getting this.
No, we're not getting it. We're wasting time.
Yeah, it's over.
It's
That's
enough.
Over.
No extra point.
No.
All right, Ray's coming up here in a moment. Tampa in town tonight. And it's a barometer game, I guess, for both teams. But does Tampa really care who they play against? It feels like Tampa only is focused on their own style of play. Right? Like they keep talking about playing the right way in a system. It's like it's totally irrelevant who's on the other
this
side of the ice.
Of players, I think they're at the point where I don't think they care if they get in the second wild card, the first wild card, who they play, their ultimate goal. They're only judged. This year, again, everybody that works here picked them to win the Stanley Cup again. Even, oh, you didn't?
No, I did not.
Who did you pick?
I had Washington beating Dallas.
Wow.
And I'm nervous about Dallas early on, I will be honest.
Tough start for the Stars.
Well, the consensus pick
was Tampa, yeah.
Even after they got dummied against Columbus in the first round. They're the favorite again. So I don't think they really care. For this core group, they want to win it, and I don't think they really care how it gets done.
So do you guys think the Leafs can prove anything if they beat them tonight, or doesn't
it's
just matter?
It's a regular season game, game five of regular season. I mean,
yeah, I don't think it matters.
No, doesn't.
But I think it would. It can't hurt your confidence.
If Tampa
it can't hurt
kicks Toronto's ass four or five times this year, however many times they play, then you might say, wow, that's a bad matchup. Who wants that?
Well, Stamkos,
that's the only thing you judge from the regular season match. If Toronto dominates, I'm sure Tampa's going to be thinking, I hope we don't play them the first round.
It would be really cool to see a playoff round with these two teams.
Of course.
Because, you know, the boogeyman right now is Boston. And that's not going to change until the Leafs actually slay that dragon. But is there one player on Boston that really scares you?
Bergeron?
Is Bergeron the guy, though, that scares you? I guess so. I mean, that
based
line
on the cumulative history that he's had against them, probably. It's that line.
There's probably multiple guys that actually scare you.
Yeah.
But I guess what I'm getting to is, like, Stamkos and his history in Toronto is just so highlighted. Like, he's played 38 or 39 games against the Leafs. He's got 44 points. He's had hat tricks in Toronto, game winners in Toronto. Kucherov is a beast. Hedman's a beast. Vasilevsky's a beast. But the idea of seeing Stamkos play Toronto in the playoffs would be
fun.
Be pretty cool. Yeah.
Especially with the story.
I think it would be fun just because it would be different. Like I.
Oh, I have no interest in Boston.
I don't either.
I would prefer to avoid that. Now, if it happens, okay, the storyline's there. At
okay,
some point,
great.
You got to go
slay
through
the dragon, and it's the same teams again. But just to switch it up, perfect.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine. Like, if I could pick any series, it's always been and it always will be Toronto-Montreal.
That's not impossible.
No, it's not. Now, it's likely 2 versus 3, but it could be 1 versus wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be my first pick. If I could pick right now, round 1, Toronto versus anyone else in the East, it's Montreal, and there's no one that's close. But I think I would go Tampa 2, Boston 3. There's no history with Florida. You know, I'm not going to include Ottawa because they're not in the conversation. If you cross over and you play Washington or Pittsburgh, I mean, I don't know. Those would be cool series, but it's got to be someone within your division the first round. That leads to the most storylines and likelihood for entertainment.
Well, the Tampa storyline would bring back the Stamkos stuff from, what year was that, 2017, is that when it was? Because I was wondering, walking in the rink this morning, do you think the Leafs would be better off getting Stamkos or the way it worked out? I guess the question is, would you rather have Stamkos or Tavares? I think Tavares fits more what they need.
I think the money would play a factor in that. Like, was he getting $11 million Stamkos, or was he getting $9.5 million?
I think the thing you're going to look at,
know.
Jonas,
yeah.
I don't think looking at it right now, look at it in 2.5 or 3 years and see whose wheels are falling off first.
Well, Stamkos is a little older. I think he's a year older, 2 years older. But yeah.
They're real close, though. Like, they're a year apart, I believe. So you're getting effectively the same prime years out of each player. Stamkos had the injury history, but he's got the pace when he's playing. Like, Tavares slows the game down.
Mm-hmm.
Tavares is never going to be a burner. He never has been.
I guess the question I would ask is, like, would Stamkos be able to play the same role as Tavares is playing right now?
No, you wouldn't ask him to, though. He's not that kind of player.
So then that changes your team, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be a negative.
No.
Necessarily.
No, sure. No.
You know, no one's complaining about John Tavares. Like, who would? He had 47 goals a year ago. He's their captain now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it was the same story. Thank you. Toronto guy, first overall pick, leaving their team to come up here. It was a carbon copy. One guy passed, and then the other guy accepted the invitation. But the one guy passed before Matthews and Marner and Nylander were here and playing.
Right. They were on the team, but not.
Yeah, they were.
We hadn't seen them.
Right.
It was 2016. Yeah, not 17.
I think it was before the tank season.
No, it was before Matthews played.
Was it? Okay.
So
he maybe had an idea of where it was going, but Tavares got to see it in action.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both great players. I mean, you can't go wrong with either guy. Here's Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is there pressure on either of these teams tonight, Tampa and or Toronto, to prove themselves this evening?
I don't know. I mean, doesn't it seem a little early for that?
Yeah, like, it's October.
I think Toronto would like to play, I think, a lot like they did the other night. They didn't win, but, man, that game looked pretty good compared to, you know, the shinny that they played the previous game. And for Tampa, things went so great for them last year, and then, of course, they hit that full stop in the playoffs, and I don't know if they look at their team and, you know, and they're almost have the mindset of, yeah, it doesn't really matter what we do now. It's what we do in April. And the problem with that is you got to get to April. And, you know, so you're maybe not as sharp, not as tuned in as you should be. But I don't know if that means pressure. It might mean more focus, which is something they probably could use.
Yeah, Cooper kind of caught himself today. I thought he gave a very appropriate answer. He admitted they're dealing with some scar tissue from a year ago and the burden of what happened. But then he's also, so in doing so, he knows the only way they're going to redeem themselves is in April and May and June.
And the other comment I liked was, we're not defending anything. They're not.
No, they lost in the first round. They were the first team out.
Yeah.
First team out. 16 made it. They were number 1 to pack their bags and leave town.
But I mean, just think, though, like, if they won 58 games this year, would you care?
No, of course not.
Right? And so the players hear it and know it, and they're well aware that they're a good team, but you start to, you know, you start to look and go, yeah, but it really matters in April. Except that means that, you know, you're assuming that your first 5.5 or 6 or 7 months are going to be much the same, and I think you probably get a little comfortable and thinking you're just going to get to that level instead of forgetting how hard it is to get there.
Any pressure on Frederik Andersen during the regular season?
Well, I think the pressure is that, you know, he's no dummy. I mean, he looks around and you're like, I better win most of my starts.
Exactly.
Right? So that to me would be the pressure. Like, there's, you know, it's not like, you know, Tuukka Rask has the comfort of looking over his shoulder and seeing, oh, Jaro Halak's there. He's been a starter in the league. He's been able to carry a team for a long period of time there. I think there's probably some comfort in that. But Andersen wouldn't have that. I mean, there's as much discussion about the backup goalie as there is about the fourth line. I mean, like, it's all important. And in Toronto, there's no luxury.
Well, I feel like he's kind of been sheltered from any of the pressure talk, Freddie Andersen.
Well, the playoff pressure talk for sure.
Yeah, like, he didn't perform in Game 7.
No.
And it was immediately on to, okay, well, what's up with Mitch Marner? And, hey, Babcock better figure it out here. And what are they going to do with the captaincy? And it's like, which is a good thing for him. It's a very good thing for him. Because you want him to just, if you're the team, stay out of the way, go out there and perform, get your 60 starts. But,
Yeah, as you say it that way, I don't think that, you know, like you say, is there any pressure there? I think the pressure would be, while it's not been from the media, like, internally, I think there's got to be pressure. Like, without ever being discussed, I mean, the whole thing is about, when you look at Toronto's goaltending, it's one guy. And the only real question is, assuming he's healthy the whole year, is how many games is he going to play? It's not how many games is the other guy going to take from him. It's going to be how many games is he going to play.
Do you think that's the right strategy? Like, I've always kind of thought maybe it would be good to have someone to push him, but maybe they think his personality is not suited to that. Maybe they don't think they should invest the money. Maybe they can invest the money. What do you think, Ray?
Well, I think it's the second thing. You know, like Jonas, I think they'd love to have a guy that they know can give him a little bit of a push, or somebody if he needs 2 weeks off that, you know, to work with the goalie coaches and or 10 days or whatever, get some good practices in. They'd like to have the comfort to say, yeah, you're taking 3 games off and we're going to, you know, get you back on the beam, but they can't.
But they didn't before, right? Like, they had money before, and it was Curtis McElhinney who was fine, but he wasn't going to steal starts.
But they don't, but
now
they did or didn't, yeah, whether they did or didn't before, they don't now.
Yeah.
Like, they can't. And so, you know, when we're sitting here discussing whether the job can get done by Hutchinson or not, okay, so let's assume it can't. So does that mean that they're going to go find another guy that makes $750,000 that's going to be way better?
Who's that?
That's what I mean. Like, who are you going to find?
Just another guy.
Yeah, you get another guy, and you hope you catch lightning, and that other guy turns into McElhinney for a year, and then he moves on and signs somewhere else. And mm-hmm. But they, it's not like they can go and spend $2 million or $1.5 million on a guy that can, you know, can really make a difference for them. They just don't have the room.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, you were there in Vancouver last night. I thought they did a pretty good job. Like, they're commemorating the 50th anniversary of the team, so it's going to be a long, drawn-out season of celebrations, and the Sedins are going to have their numbers retired. And but I thought it was pretty cool. You know, they brought some of the old players out in their unis, and a couple former captains were sitting there waiting for Bo Horvat. Like, that was a much bigger celebration than what the Maple Leafs decided to do.
I thought they did. I mean, there's lots of teams that have some kind of ceremony that they want to do, and you know, they plan it, and then it comes off and it's clunky or long or something or other. That was just about perfect last night. I they they pulled it off perfectly. They, you know, the first captain, Orland Kurtenbach, was there, and you know, he's 82 or 83 years old right now. He looks amazing. You know, and they had these old videos playing before, and it's kind of like that video that they have of the old Leafs things before the games, which I love. But of course, the Canucks only goes back 50 years, and you know, it's not like they've had a storied winning history, and yet there's so much connection to this team because it's all they've known out here. And then they, you know, they had the guys come out in the different jerseys from the different eras, I thought it was fantastic. Really, they did a great job, and then they score 8 goals in the opener. I mean, like it would be pretty hard to beat that.
What did you make of Drew Doughty's comments after? Is he a little bit delusional on his own team? I mean, like just
I think he's forgotten they're not the same team that won the cups.
Like the team like that should never beat us 8-2. I understand what he's thinking, but I just don't understand if he understands what his team is right now.
Yeah, I think there's maybe a little bit of a disconnect when they, you know, when even people are talking about the Kings, like you got to realize, like those guys that won the cups, they're not there anymore. There's like 4 of them. Martinez, Doughty, Kopitar, Brown, Carter, it's 5, Quick, 6. And that, you know, Clifford. Other than that, it's a bunch of guys that Trevor Lewis is there. Oh, I guess there is a decent amount, but it's not the same
now,
team.
Man. They're older.
Yeah, they're like, God, they don't even, like, I'm telling you guys, like last night, 2 nights ago in Calgary, they were awesome for the first half. And you're like, wow, maybe they got something. Last night, they got behind early 2-0, and L.A. had a couple of flurries on the power play, and Markstrom was really good, but that game never seemed like it was in doubt, like not even close. And I would think that L.A. is still going to be in the seller's market as they get, you know, towards the trade deadline. They've got a couple of players that I'm sure they would like to move as they get closer towards the March deadline.
Rasmus Dahlin has been lights out early in the year. He had, I think, 2 more assists last night. The Elias Pettersson-Rasmus Dahlin connection will be there to an extent because they're both Swedish and they both went in the same draft. But I remember having these conversations this time last year when Pettersson came out of the gate so hot and everyone was like, he's clearly the guy you take from that draft. And I was like, just pump the brakes. Like, let's see where Dahlin's going here. And I'm not saying that the jury has a verdict right now. They don't. But if the roles were reversed and Dahlin was doing what he's doing now as a rookie and Pettersson is out of the gate with only 1 goal through 3 games, the narrative would have been very different. And
but,
now
but
it's flipped
again. Brian, everybody wants a final decision like 3 days into something.
Exactly.
Defensemen pick
what?
It up
I
a couple days or a couple years later, don't they, Ray?
Yeah, but Dahlin's doing it now.
No, I
God,
know,
you got to. Like, he's, like, I think there's a chance they're both start. Like, a really good chance. They're both stars.
Yeah.
In a couple years. And that means that, well, you're happy with the guy you got. Like, you know, last year there was even, a late rush that everybody kind of finally realized, I guess, because it's a rookie year. And if you don't watch Dallas play a lot, you're like, oh my God, Miro Heiskanen is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like Dahlin got forgotten. And because he doesn't say anything, you know, he's just kind of goes out and does his thing, that he was forgotten. Nobody talked about him. And the same thing this year. I don't really hear anybody talking about him as among the better young players in the league. I don't know. Am I missing that? But I don't hear it.
You're right. I think a lot of it is the market.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo gets lost a lot. Even
Do you remember
though...
Hedman, Brian, his first couple years? And this Dahlin has been good this year, but Hedman, for 2 or 3 years, teams were calling on him every day saying, we want Hedman. And they said, no, you're not having him. And thank God they did that because
right.
Look what he is now.
Mm-hmm.
So that Dahlin, you think of that guy in 3 or 4 years, he's going to be a monster. He already is. He's a monster.
Just think of when, if Buffalo's power, not that it could do what it's doing now all season, but if this power play keeps zipping along, and Dahlin all of a sudden is sitting up near the top of defensemen scoring with 35, 40 points. You're like, oh, wait a minute. People are going to notice. Like,
they
if Buffalo's better and their power play is good and they're scoring lots of goals, that means Dahlin's going to have lots to do with it, and people will notice.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, naturally, we turn the page so quickly, we forget about the phenom from a year ago. And that's what Dahlin was. Throughout his whole draft year, there was no competition. None.
Not even close.
It was McDavid. It was the same thing. Exactly. It was like, Dahlin is going first. Don't talk to me about other players. He is going first. This guy is an absolute phenom in the making. And you lose sight of it because then you move to the next year and you're like, oh, who's this Jack Hughes? Who's Quinn Hughes? Right? And Heiskanen is a great example. He went in the top five. Cale Makar is getting love. But don't forget about like the true hype man. And it was Dahlin.
Well, you know what? I would say the best way I can think of that is that people talk about this, you know, the old, or not an old line, but the line of draft and development. Oh, you got to draft and develop. But really what, nobody's got the patience for that. So it's like, we want to draft and then he better be good.
Right.
And you're like, what about the development part? And people lose their mind if they have to wait, because nobody wants to wait for anything in anything. And so that's just the way it is. You're like, oh yeah, forgot about him. He's how old is he again? 26? And you're like, no, 22.
Well, Ray,
it happens all the time.
All the time.
That leads into what I wanted to ask you, Ray. What do you think is better, to bring it back to Toronto? What's better for Rasmus Sandin, playing 10 to 15 minutes a night in the NHL or playing 25 to 30 in the AHL for development?
Both. Like and the reason I say that is you can get both. Because he doesn't have to clear waivers. You can send him down for a month. He can play in the American League for a month, play 25 minutes. Then you can bring him back up, and he can play 15 minutes on your third pair because he's not going to break into the first two pairs.
Hmm.
I think him in the NHL playing 10 to 15 is better.
How come?
Because I did it. I scored 125 points a year in junior, and I went up to the NHL. And I think I had 8 goals and 14 assists my first year, but I was better off being in the NHL.
Because
but
you're playing?
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Oh, so hang on. So what about this, though, Olaf? Like, you send him back down. He's playing big minutes. He's playing on the power play. That means he's got the puck on his stick a little more than he does in the NHL. And then you know internally. I mean, he doesn't have to know right away, but you send him down, just say, December 1st. And, you know, he's coming back December 20th. Like
yeah.
You got, oh, that's 8 games, he's going to play this much, and then I'm bringing him back.
Well, I question why bring him back up, because if you're going to go down there and make him feel good with the puck, why is he going to come back up to be on a third pairing and not touch the power play?
Well, but he's still going to have the puck on his stick for a couple of weeks. Because right now, you know, he's not going to get any of that time.
I don't think they believe in that, Ray. I don't think they like the yo-yo kind of thing with prospects.
Well, then he's going to play 10 to 12 minutes because he's not going to get into the top four.
No.
But so then is that better for him?
Well, it's better than the press box. I think that's the extreme example.
Or three or four minutes.
Right. Is it better than playing 25 minutes for the Marlies?
Well, you won't know that for another 5 years. That's the truth.
But I guess that's what they're wrestling with.
Yeah.
Or what I would be wrestling with.
For sure.
Well, it's funny. I guess you know, it comes down, you mentioned you don't think they believe in that. So it comes down a bit to a organizational philosophy. And it also comes down to, okay, if he's playing, and are there games that he's creeping down? You're saying 10 to 12 minutes, but let's say it's a 3-2 game in Boston in a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. and they're in the third period, they've got the lead, and oh, wait a minute, he doesn't play the last 7 minutes.
That I don't agree with.
And that's what I mean. Like, you've got to commit to it. It can't be part way, because he's going to end up with the short end of it.
Yeah,
and then
I actually thought it was going to be over.
Do work.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be over immediately. The first game he played, he sat on the bench for 11. I'm like, no, can't do this one. And then he got into the game, and I think he actually had an assist, and he settled in. But
well, that could be their plan, though, too, is, hey, first 10 games, ease him in. So, again, it's October for him as well, right?
Okay, but when you think of it, say it is that, you know, ease him in, and then you're going to play him more. At whose expense?
Well, that's the thing, and Dermott's going to come back soon.
Right. The minutes aren't getting more available. They're going to get less available.
Mm-hmm. Well,
And I don't know how they're going to balance that with a player that clearly is a big part of their future and a guy that you're going to want to develop. Like, how do you do both at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can't. I mean, let's be honest. He's not going to play 25 minutes a night in the NHL, nor should he. He's not ready to do that. But the question is, you know, is he better off with sheltered minutes against third and fourth liners, ideally in the NHL, or top liners in the AHL?
Yeah.
And I would argue third and fourth liners in the NHL are significantly better than top liners in the AHL. it's a different style of game. You know, the top liner in the AHL is going to try a lot more and be a little bit more creative potentially. But I don't know.
The coach has to buy in that this is what's happening, right? The coach can't all of a sudden start playing them 12 minutes a night and then 8 minutes a night. And then, gee, he had a bad game and he's out of the lineup. And, the toughest thing for coaches in this league is they all say we want to develop our players, but what they really want to do is win. And so if development takes a back seat, well, that's the way it goes because I get a win.
Well, we know Riley, Muzzin, and Barry are staying in that top four all year. Do you think CeCe is definitely staying there all year?
Well, unless there's a train wreck. I mean, who's going to take his place?
Well, Dermott, I think, should have that opportunity. But
and then you get into the left-sider stuff again, right?
Yeah, you do. And Babcock is committed to that.
You know he loves himself some left-hand, right-hand defenseman.
He sure does. Loves
him. That's a little bit of a... And the other thing I would say about Dermott that, you know, we'll have to keep in mind when he comes back is, you know, he hasn't played since last year. He's got no camp and all that stuff. It's going to take him a little bit of time to... You know, to get moving a bit here. And so, you know, he comes back and I don't know, what's he, 1st of November they're sort of expecting him?
I think it's going to be sooner based on how he's practicing, but...
Okay, so let's give him the 20th of October, somewhere around there. Then all of a sudden you're 3 weeks, now you're into kind of mid-November-ish before he's really kind of close to being back on it. And how soon are they going to make a decision on that? Like, when can he start to push for minutes? And there's a lot of complications, I guess, that go into all these decisions, and one of them is going to be future health of the rest of the guys. Like, we're talking about whether Sandin can do this, that, or the other thing. Can he handle these guys? And what if somebody gets hurt? And then there's going to be more minutes available. Maybe that plays into where he's going to get to play.
There's also the cap, which is a problem.
Right.
Yeah. It always comes back to the cap.
Isn't it? It's almost sad. Brian, what you just say.
Mm-hmm. It should just be a luxury tax. Then it would be less hard rules.
Well, I have thought over the last couple of years is there should be some kind of mechanism that allows you to at least retain your own guys or to take one salary and put it in a franchise type player or something like that. Like, because right now it's becoming that, you know, you can't cross the street without talking about the cap, and I don't think it's helpful.
I don't think
it's helpful for the game at all.
No, it's annoying for everybody. That's not a Toronto thing. That's every team in the league, for the most part. All right, buddy. Well, a bunch of good games tonight, and the one in Toronto should be a blast. So we'll break it down tomorrow at 5.
You betcha. Talk to you then, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Get back into the ball games from yesterday. Tee up the game tonight. Game 5 down in Houston. Tampa looking to pull a Washington Nationals this evening. Shock the world and come back from down 2-0 against Houston. And we'll see if Jonas has the courage to step back into the Dragon's Den.
With I have trivia. The courage.
We
I don't know if I'll win.
Continue trivia right after this break.
Okay, so we'll get back to that as well. Trey Wingo from ESPN on the ball game tonight. Bobby Mack and Duffy in studio in the next hour as well. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
Grappler, do we have an update on this game show? Where we're at as far as points-wise and whose turn it is?
Based off the video review from earlier in the show, Brian... The Captain Hayes with a commanding 5-0 lead.
5-0?
Why don't we restart?
Five, right?
Why don't I didn't get one wrong.
You want to just do that as a trial?
Why don't
run
we restart
we'll right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, so I'll throw our boy a bone.
Are they gonna be joke questions again?
Dude, I just go by what my script. My
I would prefer you just define them, but okay.
Jonas, I'll give you the first question.
Okay.
Which Italian leader was terribly afraid of the evil eye?
What? Wait, can I have a side note? Can we do, like, phone a Jeff and just, I get to ask you?
Dude,
phone Al's
question.
Brother.
You can I have no phone idea. Al's brother if you want.
I don't even know what this is referring to.
I can
Which
only think
Italian
of one.
Leader, and he, I know he knows this,
no,
was afraid of the evil eye?
It's Silvio Berlusconi?
Come on. You're a moron. Yeah.
The only one I can think of is Mussolini.
Exactly.
Having
Mussolini.
The time of his life.
The dictator.
Mussolini.
The moose.
The moose.
Good job. I didn't know that.
Mussolini. I'm on the board. All right, hit me.
Which German city is famous for the perfume it produces?
Cologne.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
what
God.
What kind of question? I saw you look at the sheet and pick out the easiest question.
No, dude. No,
this
dude.
Is a fix.
No, dude. Jonas Siegel, who sang the song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas?
I don't know. Al's brother?
Al's brother, you have a chance to answer this for him.
Frank Sinatra.
Al's brother.
He doesn't want to be implicated in this garbage.
I have no idea.
He doesn't know.
Is it Frank Sinatra?
Michael
Bublé.
Wrong. Brian Hayes.
Come on, pick some good music.
Is it Bing Crosby?
Wow, this is an
annihilation.
Let's be honest, I do not know the answers. Like, put that on the line. I'm not making
this
kind of stuff up.
There's no
fix
nonsense.
Here.
Yeah.
It's my question.
Jonas Siegel.
No, it's mine, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I stole that from him.
Hazy B. Which singer's real name is Stefani Joanne Angelina Germanata?
I'm pretty... She's already been answered, like a part of the past, isn't it? No?
No.
I think.
Sorry, say that again.
Which singer's real name is Stefani Joanne Angelina Germanata?
Is it Lady Gaga?
You're the real MVP.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say Madonna.
I thought it was Gwen Stefani.
No, I think that's a real handle.
That's a real name?
It's a
Jonas,
great name.
In the human body, what is the hallux? H-A-L-L-U-X. The hallux.
What is happening here? This is like when we play trivia and you ask Jeff,
dude,
like, what are the provinces?
I literally asked the grappler. I'm going one. I'm not
blaming you. I'm blaming the grappler.
Anyway.
I have no idea.
Wrong.
This guy's such an idiot here.
The hallux.
On the part of the human body.
I am in trouble here. Is it the heel?
Wrong. You're fake news.
This guy's such an idiot here.
The big toe.
The big toe, okay.
Two toe questions?
Yep.
Okay, hit me.
A couple celebrating their crystal wedding anniversary have been married for how many years?
Ooh, I don't know that. Crystal.
You have a lifeline to Al's brother behind the glass.
Al's brother? Do you know this one? I'm going to go to Al's brother on this.
30?
Wrong.
How about 10?
Wrong.
Correct answer is 15.
15? I didn't know there was a 15. Okay, there you go. Al's brother sewering both of us. Jonas, you're up.
What is the name of Batman's butler?
Oh, I know this. Alfred.
Yes,
yes, God. On the board.
Thank you.
Brian Hayes, which movie features the song Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead?
Easy. Joke.
The Wizard of Oz.
You the real MVP.
Jonas Siegel, the Statue of Liberty was given to the U.S. by which country?
I believe that's France.
Having the time of his
Jonas
life.
Now we're heating up.
Jonas is on a heater. Not complaining about the questions anymore.
They're
Hazy
pretty bad.
C, which of the planets is closest to the sun?
Oh, I know this.
I think I know.
Venus?
No.
Wrong.
Mercury.
Correct.
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. I am in big trouble. Jonas, you're up.
Which planet has the highest mountain, Earth or Mars?
I like that there's multiple planet questions. I'll say Mars.
Having the time of his life.
That's such an easy question. There's two options.
Hazy C. Who was the president during World War I?
Uh-oh.
You are going Kershaw.
I think I know
in this event. You're Kershaw.
Woodrow Wilson.
That's right. Yeah.
You're the real MVP.
Good job.
Man, that's a good answer.
I had to reach.
Jonas, who was the Canadian Prime Minister during World War I?
You're done. And that's an embarrassment as a Canadian.
I don't think I know it.
Yeah, as a Canadian, you have to know this.
Oh, the World One. Well, it wasn't Brian Mulroney. I know
you
that.
You can go to Al's brother behind the glass.
No, he's been used. He is useless.
You get one more each Al's brother option.
He doesn't know. Look at him shaking his head. He doesn't want to be implicated
he's
in this.
He's still an option. Al's brother behind the glass can help you.
I don't think he knows.
Al's brother?
Diefenbaker?
Dude, stop it.
All right.
He looked that up.
He's wrong.
Yeah, I know.
No, God.
Do you know?
I have no
You're
idea.
You're carving Al's brother, and you don't know.
I was going to say Diefenbaker myself.
No,
it was
God.
Robert, my man, Borden. Robert
Bob Borden.
Bobby Borden.
Should have known that.
Who's
Despicable
up here?
As Canadians.
AZB?
Yeah. How many more are we doing here?
One more each. One more each.
What's the score, though? Like, have you been keeping tabs?
Yeah. Well, and so just so I'm clear, we're not including that first segment, right? That was just a
no,
trial?
No, get rid of that.
All right, so Brian, you are up 6-4.
Whoa.
Okay, so, okay.
One more each, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Who was the Canadian Prime Minister during World War II?
What is...
I'm just reading the question.
I'm not blaming you, I'm just...
Lester B. Pearson.
This guy's such an idiot here.
Uh-oh. That is not true.
I thought I had that one.
I don't
one.
Think I know.
You can use Al's brother behind the glass.
No, he's out.
Let's give him a shot. Al's brother, take it home.
Pretty sure it was William Lyon Mackenzie.
Al's brother!
Wow.
From the top
Jonas
belt.
John Smoltz
on
coming
track.
In.
Wow.
Jonas,
so Jonas
you can
has
tie it up here.
This is awesome. Here we go.
Which U.S. store chain is named after the first mate in Moby Dick?
I never read Moby Dick, but I can just guess a chain. Macy's?
Wrong. No, God.
Uh-oh.
Target?
No, God.
Doesn't matter. I won anyway.
That's
it's
right.
It's over.
What was the answer?
Starbucks.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah, that is true.
So we have not read Moby Dick. We don't know anything about Canadian politics.
But Al's brother stole the show.
Al's brother comes over the top rope.
Just a flying cross hook to Jonas's chin.
Wow.
Oh, to your chin.
That was mine. I took that one right off the chin.
So we've got Hazy B with the win?
Yeah, it's over.
Looks like I need
final
masters.
Score 6-5.
6-5.
Well,
you lose with him, too. You're a loser.
Yeah, you have not won anything.
I've been on a tough road.
That is a real shame.
That is
Jonas.
Tough sledding.
Yeah. I All did right. beat you.
That's the first time I've ever actually... Well, we've been involved like as a team.
We've never lost. You've never lost.
Yeah. I feel very confident when it comes to...
We
trivia.
Did a group of us did go out in the playoffs last year in Boston, and we did win at
really?
Bar. Yeah.
Oh, I saw you post a pic about that.
Yeah, we won.
Well, that's impressive.
Well, better question.
You got to bring it on this show, man. Under the bright lights, radio, TV, podcast, web. This is where it matters.
I don't this think I'm Kershaw. Buckling. I just don't think I'm very good.
Yeah, maybe that's what the conclusion
I'm Joe
is
Kelly.
In the end.
That's it.
Yeah. You're Dave Roberts trying to manage a game five at home.
You're Joe Kelly. You're Kershaw. You're Roberts. You're all of it.
Yeah. And I am Juan Soto. Just laying heat on you. All right. Trey Wingo from ESPN on the football game tonight and teeing up the rest of the week in the NFL. Bob McKenzie and James Duthie both in studio in the 6 p.m. hour as well. And we're teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Big one tonight down in Scotiabank. Leafs, Lightning. We'll get to that more next. We have another controversy on our hands. Multiple people tweeting in. Multiple people tweeting in for me to protest the result. Now, I won anyway, so it doesn't matter with the trivia, but William Lyon Mackenzie died in the 1800s and was the mayor of Toronto. William Lyon Mackenzie King was the prime minister. Al's brother.
Oh, my goodness.
Al's brother with a sewer job, and that is not the official answer.
That's a joke.
You're not get that point, so I actually
joking.
Won 6-4.
No, that's a
Al's
joke.
Brother goes bagels across the board.
You could argue that my Seven Dwarfs question answer was right. They do assist Snow White.
Yeah, you should have got a point on that.
So...
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I need to pick something that I can actually win.
Well, we didn't have any sports.
Yeah.
Like, not one hockey,
couple
football,
planet
baseball.
Questions.
Planet stung, man. That one hurt for me. That was an embarrassing answer. But what are you going to do? October 22nd will be a historic night down at Scotiabank Arena. And not only will the Raptors open their season at home, but they will lift their NBA championship banner into the Raptors. And next week, Overdrive will be giving away a pair of tickets to that game. Listen for the NBA champion Raptor of the Day Monday through Thursday so that you can win when we give out the cue to call next Friday. So that's going to be a big game. Raptors got a split in Japan. They're on the way back home. Feels like they've been gone forever because they had a media day on a Saturday, immediately went to Quebec, and then flew from Quebec all the way to Japan. And, like, the whole NBA is over in Japan and China right now. And did you see what happened with the Rockets and
media member from CNN? Stuff? No, so her question...
Okay, why don't we play the audio? Do we have it?
I only know the basics.
Okay, let's play what went down when the Rockets finished their game, again, in Japan. They were not in China at this point. But here's what went down in the media room with Westbrook and Harden.
The NBA has always been a league that prides itself on its player and its coaches being able to speak out openly about political and societal affairs. I just wonder, after the events of this week and the fallout we've seen, whether you would both feel differently about speaking out in that way in future.
Excuse me, we'll take the basketball questions only.
It's a legitimate question. This is an event that's happened this week during the NBA. This particular question has not been answered. James.
Any other questions?
So the PR person jumped in and said, not going down that road. And you could see the players were not going down that road either.
It's a really tough spot. I don't know what they're supposed to do. There's a lot of money at stake.
There is a report, Yahoo is reporting, that some teams are anticipating a 15% drop in the salary cap.
Yeah.
In a year, if China follows through with some of these threats and starts taking away money. And, like, that's how much cash we're talking about. 15% of the salary cap is based on what happens in China. That's right. How much money is at stake over there.
And so if you come out and say what you think, you could be taking a hit for the whole league. I mean, look at the response to Daryl Morey. Do you want to really jump into that?
Well, no, but I think...
They should let them ask the
You
got
to answer the question. Yeah.
They can just say, like, I can't comment.
Right.
There's nothing I can say.
And the NBA came out and claimed that they didn't like the way the PR person handled it. But I find it hard to believe that she was not under strict orders. Don't let this go down. Do not let them get to a point where they're speaking on it. I'm sure they're gonna have to answer for it when they get back to America.
Yeah.
And when they come home, even the Raptors, who are not really a part of this whole situation... it really is Houston. They're going to come home and people are going to ask Kyle, hey, what did you think about this story? You know, he's got a history in Houston, and I don't know if he's going to give an answer. I would assume that he'll probably do what Steve Kerr said and what Popovich did and just said, hey, I'm not educated enough. I'm not going to go down that road. They don't have to say anything. But I think sticking to your morals or your values or in saying, listen, I believe in free speech – that should not be a statement that anyone in the Western world is dancing around.
You got to be careful.
That's how delicate it is?
Yes.
You can't admit that you are pro-free speech.
Do you want to blow up 15% of the cap? They have jobs.
Yeah, well, yeah. Oh, they're still getting paid, though.
Yeah.
They're still getting
They'll
paid.
Be okay.
Bob McKenzie and James Duffy in studio in the next hour. Trey Wingo on the football game tonight. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.